And we are in chapter 3. And we are in verse 30, and we're going to read through verse 34. And just to bring you up to speed, this is right after Joab and his brother Abishai had killed Abner. Abner was the general of the northern kingdom under Saul's son, Ishbosheth. And he had accidentally killed Joab and Abishai's brother, you remember? And according to what we're going to see here, if he had fled to a city of safety, he would be able to find safety because, or city of refuge, because he had accidentally killed somebody. That was a part of the Jewish law that was given. Let's go ahead and read verse 30 through 34. And so Joab and Abishai, his brother, killed Abner because he had killed their brother Ashel at Gibeon in a battle. And David said to Joab and to all the people who were with him, "Tear your clothes and girt yourself with sackcloth and mourn for Abner." And David followed the coffin. And so they buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner. And all the people wept. And the king sang a lament over Abner and said, "Should Abner die as a fool dies? Your hands were not bound, nor your feet put into fetters. As a man falls before wicked men, so you fell." Then all the people wept over him again. Jeremiah, would you ask the blessing, brother, upon this?
Father God, once again, thank you, Lord, for giving us the privilege and the honor, Lord, to look to your word, Lord God. Lord, we know that these things have happened, Lord, that we know that you were there in the presence of these people as they were happening. Lord, we pray, Lord, that each of us would just get something that would fill our cups, that we may pour ourselves out to the others around us, and we see that you, Lord God, we're worshiping you, Lord God, that we know we need to seek. So, Lord, you are the one and true God. We know that. We thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy, and your word. We ask these things in the name of your Son.
Amen. So, again, David, he says here at Abner's funeral service, basically, he says he didn't deserve to die like that. He wasn't guilty of murder. It was accidental, totally accidental. But again, Joab and Abishai were very hard men, battle-hardened. And they were determined to have their revenge. And like I said, in the Old Testament time, if a man killed somebody unintentionally, he could flee and find protection from his victim's avenger, which, you know, basically they were called the Avenger of the Blood, and find safety in one of the six cities that were called cities of refuge throughout Israel. And if he stepped out of the gate of that city, he was on his own. He was no longer protected. Well, the truth is, this particular city, Hebron, was one of those cities of protection. And that's why Joab met Abner at the gate. "Come here, Abner, we want to talk with you." Again, he should have stayed in the city. There's an allegory here for us. Jesus is our refuge. Amen? And we must stay in him if we're going to be protected. We can't get lured away by Satan or the ways of the world. Jesus offers us safety. He is our refuge. And the world is constantly trying to entice us. Even though you might be a dynamo Christian, never seem to have any kind of spiritual problem at all, and think, "I can handle it." Be careful. Because Abner, he was a great warrior. He was a pretty wise counselor. And he stepped away from the city of refuge. And so we've got to stay under the safety, under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. Amen? Remember, Jesus stood over Jerusalem and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you together and protect you as a chicken does her chicks under her wings." And that, I don't know if you've ever looked in a barnyard or not and saw that happen before a storm, whether it's a windstorm or what have you. But you'll see that happen. A hen will go out there and she'll spread her wings out, and the chicks will huddle underneath her wings and find protection there. Well, that's what God wants to be to us. That's what kind of protection He wants us to have. Well, we see here that David was not happy with Joab and his brother. And what does he do? He commands them to tear their garments and to put sackcloth on as a sign of mourning. And of course, this was traditional, according to the Jewish faith, to signify that you were upset. Were they upset? No, they were happy about the whole situation. But David was not. It's likely that when the people who were gathered there at this funeral, when they saw Joab and his brother Abishai, that they were not even aware that they were the ones who were Abner's murderers. Because David, whenever he pronounced that curse, I don't think it was publicly to these people. He didn't call attention to them for some reason. He didn't pronounce this curse against them. And it was probably spoken within the inner circle of David, you know, his advisors and counselors. But we see very clearly that David mourned. He walked behind the funeral buyer. And David, what he did is he felt that pain and that grief that he did for Saul and Jonathan. And he did for Abner what he did for Saul and Jonathan. He sings this song of lament, kind of the official eulogy to honor Abner. And I think in his conduct, he made it clear that Abner, even though he was an adversary at one time, he was still a brother, just like Saul. In his song, he also makes it clear that Abner didn't die because of the foolish acts that he'd committed. He was never a prisoner of anybody in war. He'd always been a victor. But he had fallen because he was deceived by wicked men. You see? And the picture should be clear for us. The Bible says, when someone thinks he stands, take heed, lest you fall. Don't think for a moment that Satan has not got his minions out there who are waiting just to deceive and draw people away from the things of faith. Verses 35 through 36. And when all the people came to persuade David to eat food while it was still day, David took an oath, saying, God do so to me and more also if I taste bread or anything else till the sun goes down. Now all the people took note of it, and it pleased them, since whatever the king did pleased all the people. So it's clear that David has the confidence of the people because he did mourn for Abner. He truly lamented his death. Even though Abner was, again, opposed to David, you know, and still wanted to see the house of Saul rise up, David was a man of forgiveness, a man of compassion, and a man of mercy. Again, what we see is the picture of Jesus Christ. Isn't that right with David? Verse 37 through 39. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it had not been the king's intent to kill Abner, the son of Ner. Then the king said to his servants, do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel? And I am weak today, though anointed king. And these men, the sons of Zeruiah, are too harsh for me. And the Lord shall repay the evildoer according to his wickedness. And so the king says this to his servants about Joab and Abishai. Now, Abner, his name actually means enlightening or enlightened. Abner was a man who spent most of his life fighting against David in one way, form, or another. Under Saul, chasing after David while he's in the wilderness, and then under Saul's son. But again, there came that time when he turned around, and what did he do? He joined with David. And again, this is a beautiful picture of people who spent their lives fighting against the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Which probably speaks of all of us here tonight. But the time came. I was 26 when that happened. To others, they may have been older, may have been younger. But we became enlightened and followed him. Amen? Well, that's Abner. In telling his people to follow David, there was 18,000 fighting men that would be transferred into David's service. And they swore allegiance to David from, and they were again from the household of Ish-bosheth, and they had become a part of the kingdom of David. Like I said, the same is true for us. We change alliance from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And as a result, like Abner, we tell others to do so also. You see, this part of being a witness and a testimony. You know, we can be very significant in the work for the kingdom of God if we will but open our mouths and be a mighty man of valor, so to speak, or a woman of valor like Abner was, to share our faith. Remember, the Bible says that our battle is not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers of spiritual wickedness in high places. What keeps people from sharing their faith? What keeps them from speaking out? And we talked about it this morning in the morning service. It's fear. But where does that fear come from? It's not from the Lord. You know? It's from the wicked one. I think that most lukewarm Christians go through uneasiness and are unhappy because they're trying to straddle the fence. That's the reason why. And their allegiance is not apparent, that it's solid, that it's convincing, or it's sincere. So the question all of us have to ask ourselves, and this is something that we are told that we need to do from time to time. Examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate? From time to time, we need to ask ourselves, whose side are we really on? It becomes apparent and evident to other people. And so, if we recognize that we have been straddling the fence, if we recognize that perhaps our allegiance hasn't been where it should be, we can still turn to him. And he will abundantly pardon, just like David did with Abner. Now, when David said to the people that were around him that he was weak, he wasn't suggesting that he wasn't strong enough to be the king. But the word really that should be used here is that he was restrained and that he was gentle, in contrast to the two brothers who were hard. These two men were his nephews. And I know that there's a lot of people who profess Christianity who are hard. And I believe that God's call for us is that we be like our King. Amen? Gentle. Remember Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, meek and lowly. And what will happen? You will find rest for your souls. David had experienced God's gentleness, and it made him want to be like God. And he's trying to deal with others as God dealt with him. As a matter of fact, if you look at 2 Samuel 22, verse 20, or 36, listen to what is said here. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. When you've experienced the salvation of the Lord, you experience God's gentleness towards you. It says, your gentleness has made me great. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, that gentleness, that goodness of the Lord, it does something for you. Like I say, I love to listen to music, and that one song by Danny Gokey that's out there today, More Than You Think I Am, it moves me when I think about it. It's like the Lord is just singing to me, you know. More than you think I am. And one of the lyrics in that song, you know, rumor has it, I have a gavel in my hand, I'm only here to condemn. But I want to tell you some things that you'll probably never know. I think of you as my best friend. You know, that moves me, you know. I believe that's who God is and the mercy and gentleness that God has for those who love Him. David would one day tell Joab and Abishai and another man by the name of Ittai to deal gently with his son Absalom when he had rebelled against David and tried to usurp the kingdom from David. In 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 5, and now the king had commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. It's the Spirit of Christ coming out in David right there. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains orders concerning Absalom. But what happened is we go along in that chapter, you'll find the evidence of what David had said about Abishai and Joab became very apparent as they found Absalom. And look at chapter 18, verse 9 through 14. Then Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode on a mule. And the mule went under the thick boughs and the great timber tree, and his head caught in the timber, so that he was left hanging between the heaven and earth. And the mule which he was under went on. Now here's what you have to understand. In that day, a king rode a mule. You know, just as Jesus rode a mule going into the city, it was prophetic, spoke of the fact that he was king. Okay? Symbolic also the fact that, you know, the mule, it was taken from him as that mule went on. It says, now certain men saw it and told Joab and said, I just saw Absalom hanging in the timber tree. And so Joab said to the man who told him, you just saw him? Well, why did you not strike him there with to the ground? I would have given you 10 shekels of silver and a belt. But the man said to Joab, though I were to receive 1,000 shekels of silver in my hand, I would not raise my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing, the king commanded you and Abishai and Ittai, saying, beware lest anyone touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise, I would have dealt falsely against my own life, for there is nothing hidden from the king. Didn't that speak of Jesus? And you yourself would have set yourself against me. And then Joab said, I cannot linger with you. And he took 3 spears in his hands, and he thrust them through Absalom's heart, where he was still alive in the midst of the timber tree. We see that David truly was a man after God's own heart. All that David could do in Abner's death was lament and leave the judgment to the Lord. And he left it to the Lord because the Lord never makes a mistake. See, David was beginning to grow as a man of God. We should always do the same. The old saying, those who live in glass houses should not throw rocks, you know. Joab needed to learn that lesson. It speaks of the hard Christian. In 1 Corinthians 4 and 5 it says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will be from God. Praise will be from God, or it will be judgment the otherwise. As it says in Acts 17, verse 29 through 31, as Paul is speaking to the people of Athens, he tells them, therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art or man's devising. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance to this and to all by raising him from the dead. So we as believers should not take things into our own hands. That's what Joab, what he did. He took things into his own hands, even after being told not to do it. How many times have we come to church? How many times have we heard the message from the scriptures that says, don't judge, don't do this, forgive, forget about bitterness and things like that. And yet we go out and what's one of the first things we do? Don't judge anything before the time. So one of the reasons why Jesus shared that parable of the tares among the wheat. The servants wanted to pull up the tares, but the master said, no, don't do it. At least you pull up some of the good. Got to be careful, folks, as believers, that we don't take things into our own hands. We go to chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. When Saul's son heard that Abner had died in Hebron, he lost heart, and all Israel trembled, was troubled. Now Saul's son had two men who were captains of troops. The name of one was Benaiah, and the other's name was Rechab, the sons of Rimmon, the Beerite, of the children of Benjamin. For Beerite was also part of Benjamin. Because the Beerites fled to Gittim and have been sojourners until this day, Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. And he was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it happened, as she made haste to flee, that she fell and, he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. Now, the death of Saul would mean that there would be a new king. And the custom of that day was that the new king, when he ascended to power, usually what happened, everyone who was from the previous king's family, especially the sons, would be put to death because they wouldn't want any kind of challenge then or down the road to the authority of the king. And so upon hearing Saul and Jonathan had died, Jonathan's son's nurse grabbed him, ran with him to protect him from being killed by the new king. But instead of protecting him, she actually caused him to become crippled. The funny thing is we see as we go on studying about David, we know from Scripture that David, that he had something against crippled people. And God begins to change his heart, because he takes Mephibosheth in and lets him eat at his own table, treats him like his own family because of the love that he had for his father, Jonathan. Verses 5 through 8. And the sons of Rimmon, the Beerite, Rechab, and Benaiah set out and came at about the heat of the day to the house of Ishbosheth, who was lying on his bed at noon. And they came there all the way to the house as though to get wheat. And they stabbed him in the stomach. And Rechab and Benaiah, his brother, escaped. And for when they came to the house, he was lying on his bed in his bedroom. Then they struck him and killed and beheaded him and took his head and were all night escaping through the plain. And they brought the head of Ishbosheth to David at Hebron, and said to the king, "Here is the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, your enemy, who sought your life, and the Lord has avenged my lord the king this day of Saul and his descendants." Well, it's what we're going to see is that David was a man after God's own heart. He had no intentions of seeing the death of any of Saul's family. He would not put Saul to death, and he would not do that to his family. And so here's these men who are pretending to deliver wheat, and most likely the king was sleeping when they did this. And they beheaded him, brought the head to David, no doubt thinking that they were going to receive a reward from David. After all, this Ishbosheth was the one who was standing between David and the throne. So they just surmised this by their own carnal thinking, yeah. And I think this is, at this point, it's important to remind what the Scripture has to say in Proverbs 14 and 12. And it only says it there. It says it twice. It says it in 16:25, same verse. There is a way that seems right to a man, but it's the way of death. And this is an example of that, most certainly. Verse 9 and 10, it says, but David answered Rechab and Benah, his brother, the sons of Rimmon, the Beerite, and said to them, as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from all adversity. When someone told me, saying, look, Saul is dead, thinking to have brought good news, I arrested him and I had him executed in Ziklag, the one who thought that he would give him a reward for his news. Remember the Amalekite who claimed to have killed Saul? So David told them, you know, that this was basically his mode of operation. Those who claimed to be doing God's service, even, you know, they took an innocent life. David was not happy. Verse 11 through 12. How much more when wicked men have killed a righteous person in his own house on his bed? Therefore shall I not now require his blood at your hand and remove you from the earth? And so David commanded his young men, and they executed him. Cut off their hands and feet and hanged them by the pool of Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in the tomb of Abner in Hebron. See, in David's eyes, if the killing of Abner was heinous, which it was, the murder of Ishbosheth was even worse. Because his only crime was being that of being the son of Saul. He had broken no laws. He had injured no people. He wasn't even given the opportunity to defend himself. You know, they killed him while he was on his bed. The thing that I think that David didn't like the most was the fact that they didn't even show respect for his dead body, and they beheaded him so that they could bring evidence to David so they could get a reward. But even worse than that, these two murderers told David that it was the Lord who had avenged him. I think it's important to remember what it says in Scripture about doing something that is against what God tells you to do. How many of you are familiar with the story about a prophet who was told to go to a certain place? And he went. And he was told not to go there, or he's told to go there and not to return another way. Another prophet came along and said, well, I'm a prophet also. Come and stay in my house. The Lord has told me, angel of the Lord told me. I would go ahead and read that to you, but you can read it on your own in 1 Kings 13. But the man went with the prophet. And as he's eating, all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he realized that he'd been lied to. And so, upset, he left. And on the way, he was killed by a lion. Now, it seemed hard to a lot of people. You know, the Bible says, behold the mercy and grace of the Lord, and behold the severity of the Lord. David's answer to these men made it clear that he had no time in his career to break any of God's commands, to do anything that was against God's will in order to accomplish his own desires or his own purposes. His desire was to please God in everything. As a result of that, we see how the Lord watched over David and protected him during those 10 years of exile. And now, as we have seen, the 7 years as king in Hebron, as the king of Judah. And as he did when Saul and Abner died, David makes it very clear that he was not involved in this in any way. It would have been very easy for David's enemies to start a rumor and say that, you know, the king had engineered all this in order to clear the way for ascending to the throne in Israel. This act literally disgusted David. And immediately he ordered these men to be killed. But not only that, cut off their hands, cut off their feet. Why? It's because of what it speaks of, the works of their hands and where they go. And so, it's also important to remember that to mutilate a corpse in this way and to publicly expose it, hanging it up like that, was to be the ultimate in humiliation according to that culture. Remember what it says in Deuteronomy 21, verse 22 through 23. Then remember Absalom, how that he had rebelled against David. And he ended up being caught in that tree, that Timbrah tree, by the head of his hair. Hair of his head, sorry. And it was kind of a type of this also, that the kingdom was taken from him, that mule leaving. And the hair, I'm sure he was very prideful about his beauty. He was a very good-looking young man. It was the very thing that hung him up. It says, if a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, but you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as inheritance. For he who is hanged is accursed of God. So the picture here is Absalom being accursed as a result of this. These men being accursed as a result of this because of their sin. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Galatians, I believe it is, says, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Jesus hung on a tree too. The Bible says God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And so that's why this was done. It was to humiliate. Think about the humiliation that Jesus suffered. Spit upon, blood pouring down his face from the thorns piercing his skull, beard pulled from his face, slapped, beaten, whipped, mocked. All of these things he did for you and I, so that we would never be cursed. Jesus has removed the curse of the law for us. Amen. Our hearts should forever be thankful and grateful. We should never, ever forget that. Every night when we go to sleep and every morning we wake up, all through the day, be thanking the Lord for your salvation, because it was purchased with such a great price. Amen. Amen. Well, that's all I have for tonight. Does anybody have any thoughts or questions?